And that hymn was written by a brand new Christian in Asia who knew he was going to have persecution from family and village when he followed Jesus. No turning back. Well, we come to our message today. If you have a Bible, please turn to Acts chapter 8. And if you wish, you can follow along in the bulletin. I've asked the young men at the back, there's some pictures on your bulletin. I'm going to ask them as we look at each part of the message today to show one of those pictures, just to help engage the children today. Because I want this message to be for them too, as well as all of us adults. This is the baptismal message for Joseph Drozd. Let's pray. Father, we pray that as we come to your word, you would open it out to us. We thank you for the words that have been sung and the words of Tesme that have already been said. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, you might crystallize and clarify this word in our hearts now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is a baptismal service, and a baptismal service always attracts friends and relatives of the person being baptized because baptism is a major milestone in anyone's life. No matter our church background, whether a person is baptized as a baby or as a child or as an adult, baptism is a very significant event. Or if a person had been a Buddhist or a Muslim or an atheist, our baptism is still going to be very significant time in a person's life. So we're here today to witness this milestone in Joseph's life. We've just heard Joseph's story, and very soon we're going to witness his baptism. The baptism itself takes less than a minute, just a few seconds really. But we might be doing a few things different to what you're used to today, so baptism deserves a little bit of explanation as we move through this. I trust that you soon understand from the Bible who can be baptized and why we do things the way that we do. Now, the Greek word for baptism is baptizo, and baptizo and all its forms in the Bible occurs 130 times. I say that just to say it's quite a common word in the New Testament. So there are a lot of passages I could choose from today, but the passage I decided to look at today is the longest account in the Bible that involves a baptism. I have chosen that passage too because I'm really speaking to Joey today a lot of the time, but I'm very aware that you're here and I'm going to be speaking to you too. Joseph, there are five parts of the Ethiopian man's story that I want to tell you about. The first part of the Ethiopian man's story is he met Philip. He met Philip. Now, Philip was a deacon and an evangelist. And Philip had been evangelizing in an area called Samaria. And many people had been coming to Christ. It was a revival. We follow the story from verse 26. Now, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south, along the road which goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." You might say, that's strange. How come when Philip is in an area where he's seeing great revival that God would tell him through an angel to go to a place that was desert, where there was no one? Well, we don't always understand what God is doing. I'd say we frequently don't understand what God is doing, but Philip obeyed anyway. We read in verse 27, "So he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah the prophet." Now we see why God had told Philip to leave an area of revival and go to the desert. It was because God had an appointment for Philip with this Ethiopian man. The man that God wanted Philip to speak to was an African man from the country or the region of Ethiopia. He was in charge of the treasury of the Ethiopians under for that whole kingdom. or queendom, we might say, since it was a queen that was in power at the time. He could influence many. God had chosen him as a special vessel of his because he could influence many in that country of Ethiopia. And no doubt he did when he went back there. God had a special plan for this man's life. That's why God had said to Philip, go down to this particular place. Now, the Ethiopian man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. People traveled a lot in those old days, just as they travel a lot today, because it wasn't as fast. They traveled in sailing ships, and in chariots, and on donkeys, and so forth. But somehow, the Ethiopian treasurer had heard about the Jewish religion, and he'd heard about the temple in Jerusalem. Probably some traveller had gone down to Ethiopia, maybe someone selling things, and told him about what was there. And so the Ethiopian man had the money and the means to be able to travel, and he had come up to Jerusalem to see for himself. Now, whilst in Jerusalem, he had bought something that was very expensive indeed. He had bought a scroll. That is like a book, only in a roll. He'd bought a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And yes, it's exactly the same as the book Isaiah that we have in our Bibles today. To buy a Bible today is not that expensive. You can get Bibles for a couple of dollars from Kurong or other places too. It's not expensive for us to buy a Bible, but it was very expensive to buy a scroll of Isaiah back then. It was copied by hand, and it was done by specially trained men. And it was often on a parchment that was very expensive to buy without any writing on it. But this rich man had bought a whole scroll of Isaiah for himself, and he was reading it. Verse 29 says, then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Peter ran to him. So Philip obeyed again. He'd heard from an angel that he was to go to this particular place, and he obeyed. He now heard from the Spirit of God, go and join this Ethiopian man, and he obeyed again. Both the angel and the Spirit, of course, were from God. The Ethiopian treasurer was just doing what he wanted to do. He'd gone up to Jerusalem, he was going back home again. But I want you to understand that Philip was obeying the Lord. And because Philip was obeying the Lord, he was able to meet this Ethiopian man in God's time and in God's way. Joseph, that kind of reminds me of a story your dad told last Sunday night, and you were here to hear that. Do you remember? He read from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called, and he went out not knowing where he was going. So Abraham obeyed God, even though God hadn't yet revealed to him the final destination. He just went. And here we see this man Philip obeying, even though he didn't understand when he first obeyed exactly what God wanted him to do. It didn't make sense for him to go to the desert, but he went anyway. Can I say to you, God loves it when his children, and I'm talking about adults too, God loves it when his children obey him. In being baptized today, Joey, you are saying that you're going to follow the Lord Jesus. You're going to love him, and you are going to obey him. Okay, let's see if we can think of some verses that talk about obedience, some verses that you could be obeying as you seek to follow Jesus. The most important one for you right now, and all the children here today, is Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. When you obey mum and dad, you will be following the Lord Jesus as you promised to do today. Jesus also wants you to be a witness. We read in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and to the end of the earth. I think Australia is included to the end of the earth. He wants us to be a witness here too in Australia. So in following Jesus, you're going to obey mum and dad, you're going to be a witness, and you're going to speak nicely. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 6 says, let your speech always be with grace. That means sweet words, helpful words to people that encourage them. And Jesus wants you to be kind, Ephesians 4, verse 32, and be kind to one another. Now, It's very hard for us to think of all these things that God wants us to do at once. But you'll be doing all those things if you love God with all your heart and if you love your neighbour as yourself. That's in Mark chapter 12 and verse 29. The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this, You shall love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So if you do those things, and I say to the rest of the children, the adults, if you do those things, you'll be a godly young man, we'll be godly people. You'll be obeying the Lord Jesus. You'll be following the Lord Jesus. And you know what? God is pleased when we obey him. The second part of the Ethiopian man's story is he heard the truth. He heard the truth. Always, gospel truth is carried by someone. Now, Philip was about to explain the truth to this Ethiopian. But even if someone just leaves a tract, and you pick up a tract and read that, it took someone to leave the tract. It took someone to print the tract. Even if someone gives you a Bible, again, it took someone to translate that Bible from the original languages. It took someone else to print it, and it took someone else to buy it and give it to you as a gift. Always the gospel message involves a person. It always does. And that's what happened in this story too. We pick it up at verse 30. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, Do you understand what you're reading? And he said, How can I, unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The Ethiopian man was not only rich, he was educated. No doubt this scroll was in the Hebrew language with the Hebrew characters, so he must have been able to read Hebrew. And he was reading the prophet Isaiah. He could understand the words, but he didn't really get what the gist of the whole thing was. He was educated, but education doesn't mean that you'll understand the Bible. Joseph, some of the cleverest men in the world don't understand the Bible like you already understand the Bible. I need to explain that Isaiah, the scroll of Isaiah that he was reading, was full of prophecy. Isaiah lived 700 years before the Lord Jesus. And yet he wrote so much about the Jewish Messiah, about Jesus Christ. The place where the Ethiopian was reading, we call Isaiah 53. And Isaiah 53 talks about the death of Jesus Christ. And it talks about the death of Jesus Christ like it's a newspaper report written the day after Jesus died. But it wasn't. It was written 700 years before. So we read in verse 32, The place in the scripture he read was this, He, that is Jesus, was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice is taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Of course he preached Jesus to him because the passage that he was reading was about Jesus Christ. Jesus was executed. He died on that cross for us. But as he was taken through the trial, and as he went to the cross, he did not open his mouth exactly as Isaiah predicted. We read in Matthew 27 and verse 14, But he answered, that is he, Jesus, answered Pilate not a word, so that the governor marveled greatly. He opened not his mouth. No doubt Philip explained why Jesus had to die on the cross. In that same passage, Isaiah 53, we read in Isaiah 53 and verse 6, All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord, that is the Father in heaven, has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. The Father has laid the sin of mankind on the shoulders of Jesus. And Isaiah said that 700 years before his birth. Now, we all like to make our own decisions. God is the the creator of all. He is our maker and therefore the rightful ruler of our lives, but we don't like anyone telling us what to do, right? And so we read in verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. To turn to our own way and not let the Lord direct our lives is sin. That's the definition of sin. Jesus carried our sin in his body on the tree. The chapter the Ethiopian read started with these verses, Isaiah 53 and verse 1. Who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord been revealed? And so we could imagine this Philip saying to the Ethiopian something like this. You have to believe, sir. You have to believe that Jesus is God in the flesh. You have to believe that he died in your place for your sins and he rose again to give you new life. I'm sure he said, must have said something like that. Yes, he is God, because Isaiah says in another place, Isaiah 9 and 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government that is of this world will be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, he will be God, Everlasting Father, because he is of the Father, equal to the Father, Prince of Peace. He is God, and believing, you can be saved. Now, Joey, you've told us your story today, and you heard a Bible story there in Awana. One night you went home, and you got help at home, and what you did wasn't complicated. It took a soft heart to admit that you were a sinner and needed a Savior, and that it took a childlike trust to believe that Jesus could actually save you. And can I say to the adults, us adults need that same childlike faith and trust in the Lord if we will be saved too. And so anyone can be saved. But sophisticated adults don't like the simplicity of it. They feel they have to do something. Whole religions teach what you have to do to be saved. If you don't belong to our particular church, they will say, you can't be saved. We don't say that here. You can be saved without belonging to this church. But some churches say you have to belong to our church to be saved. Or you have to door knock to be saved, like the Jehovah's Witnesses do. Or you have to do something to be saved. No, no. Man's work will never save him. But Joseph is saved as a child. The Ethiopian man has now heard the truth about the gospel, just as we've been hearing here this morning. And therefore, anyone who's heard has a responsibility to respond. Won't you throw yourself on the mercies of God? Won't you say, Lord, I have gone my own way. I come to you. I confess that as sin. I believe Jesus Christ died on my place. Here, Lord Jesus, take control of my life. As 2 Corinthians 5:15 says, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves. No, we give the control to Jesus, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, everything has become new. The third part of the Ethiopian man's story is he believed in the Lord. We read of the Ethiopian man's response in verse 36. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So we see that statement of faith there from the Ethiopian. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In other words, he believed that Jesus was God in the flesh. And once you have believed that, once the Spirit of God has revealed that to you, normally you understand also that Jesus Christ died in your place on that cross and rose again to give you new life. As Romans 10 and verse 9 says, if we will confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The Ethiopian man had believed and was saved. The Spirit of God at that moment he believed came into his life. He was born again of God's Spirit. This does not happen at baptism. This happens at the moment a person believes. And long before Joey ever thought of baptism, he was saved. If you call on the Lord like the Ethiopian did through prayer, you can be sure that you'll be saved. For Romans 10 and verse 13 says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. The fourth part of the Ethiopian man's story is he was committed to the Lord. Not only did he believe in the Lord, he was committed to the Lord. And now we start to talk about baptism, because baptism is a public commitment to the Lord Jesus. Now, Philip had taught, obviously, had taught the Ethiopian not only about Jesus, but he'd obviously taught him about baptism, that he would ask a question about baptism. So the Ethiopian man asks in verse 36, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Now, what hinders me from being baptized is a good question. And in answer to that question, Philip gave one requirement, one thing he needed, one criteria for baptism. And that's in verse 37. If you believe with all your heart, you may. You can be baptized if you believe with all your heart. Anyone who has believed on Jesus Christ can be baptized. Anyone who has not yet believed on Jesus Christ cannot be baptized yet. They need to believe first. According to this scripture, it is wrong to baptize anyone who has not believed. Like, for example, a baby. You might say then, well, why do churches baptize babies? Well, it's their church tradition. Jesus commented on such religious tradition, saying in Matthew 15 and verse 3, "Why do you transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition?" A church tradition that baptizes babies disregards the commandment of God that it is only believers who are to be baptized. You don't find baby baptism in the Bible. It is a church tradition. So since the Ethiopian qualified for baptism, we read in verse 38, "So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him." The Bible says he went down into the water. For the word baptism, the meaning of the word baptism is immersion. To dip, to go under that water. It does not mean sprinkling, and no sprinkling occurred here, for they went down into the water. There's another church tradition. So in summary, the Ethiopian was immersed in water following his statement that he believed. So we note that his was a belief that obeys, and it obeyed immediately. This is a committed faith. This is a faith that follows the Lord Jesus. I said, all you have to do to be saved is to believe. No work of man will ever save anyone. Yes, that's true, but it's no superficial belief. Verse 37 says, if you believe with all your heart, you may. You just can't say, oh yeah, I think that's probably right, and be saved. True belief will begin to obey Jesus. True belief will begin to follow Jesus. True belief will love the Lord Jesus. And since Jesus commanded baptism in Matthew 28 and verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. He has the authority of God, for he is God. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And since Jesus commanded baptism, baptism is often a first step of obedience. It's certainly a first public step of obedience. David gave test me how earlier in the year Joey came to him and told him and asked him about baptism. Now, I underline what David said. This is something that came from Joseph. because he'd been saved and he wanted to follow the Lord Jesus. It was faith that obeyed. Of course, it was taught faith, but not everyone who hears the teaching wants to obey. And the Ethiopian was taught about baptism too. Now, since David came to me, my wife and I have spent quite a bit of time with Joey going through the scriptures together, and we're blessed to see his heart and his understanding of the scriptures. And we gladly baptize you today, Joey. But it does raise a question, doesn't it? If you can't baptize a baby, can you baptize a 10-year-old or a 5-year-old? The answer is the same every time, and it's there in verse 37. If you believe with all your heart, you may. If a child of 5 showed spiritual understanding, a desire to be baptized and trusted Christ as Savior, I'd be willing to baptize them. I might counsel them or counsel with the parents to wait till later so that they could remember this public commitment of faith. But if they're ready and if they're wanting to be baptized, nothing should hinder someone that has believed with all their heart. And Joey is certainly ready for baptism. The final part of the Ethiopian man's story is he went rejoicing. We read in verse 39, "Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so the eunuch saw him no more, and he," that is the eunuch, "went on his way rejoicing." Baptism is a joy of heart to all those who are baptized because it is a step of obedience. The baptismal water saves no one. It's just water. It's not transforming water in any way. It's just water. It's the belief that saves, and the water saves no one. But baptism is an important milestone, and that's why we're all here today to see you baptized, Joey. Every step of obedience counts for the Lord Jesus, and this is another step of obedience. Every time we say, "Yes, Lord," it helps us to grow spiritually. Joey, you've made a good choice, and I hope that you get a lot of encouragement, a lot of joy in your heart, blesses you, makes you happy for what you do today. You're promising to follow Jesus always. That's a big promise. And it's not a promise that any of us can keep by ourselves. You need God's Spirit to help you to follow Jesus. And you'll need the Lord's strength. So I want to give you a verse today, Joey. It's Philippians 4 and verse 13. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." When you find it hard to follow Jesus, and there will be times you find it hard, then I want you to remember, I can do this by the strength of the Lord Jesus. God bless you, Joey. Dear Father, we thank you for the time in the Word, and I pray the Word not only impacted Joey, but impacted all of us. I pray for the children. I pray for some of the children that need to be baptized that have believed in Jesus. I pray they would see this testimony today and be encouraged by it. Pray for the adults that are here who perhaps have not heard anything like this before. I pray, Lord, that the word comes to their hearts in a fresh way and they might see that there is a need for that personal relationship with Christ. Pray that you'd work in all our hearts and lives. Help us to leave here rejoicing, just like the Ethiopian man did too. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.